Well, I think we can thank our actors this morning for a wonderfully dramatic reading, and your Oscar is under the communion table, so you'll get it later. So this is a story of Pentecost. And Pentecost, as I say, is an incredibly dramatic story. It's loud, and it's got fire, it's got language, it's got words, it's coming at you from all sides. And in the Pentecost story, as you'll have heard, there's talk about gifts, the gifts that the Spirit poured out on the early church, gifts of prophecy and of gifts of language. But there are other slightly less dramatic, maybe more Scottish ways that we can know that God has given us gifts. We know that God has, we hear in other verses in the Bible, some other ways of talking about gifts that, as I say, are not as drama-filled as the words in where we hear the story of Pentecost. In the first letter of Peter, we hear a message about gifts. So this is from 1 Peter chapter 4. This reading's from the Message, so it's slightly different from the language you would get in your pew Bible. But it very much sums up the message of 1 Peter. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things that God gave you. Pass them all around so all get in on it. If it's words, let it be God's words. If it's help, let it be God's hearty help. And here it is from the New International Version, which is a bit more conventional. But it's the word of God. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I'm going to read that again. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So here we've got Peter urging his readers his listeners to serve one another with their God-given gifts. This means in Greek exactly what it means in English, to wait on one another, to attend to one another's needs, to minister to one another. Peter wanted these believers, regardless of their difficulties, to put the welfare of others first. As God has gifted each one, each in turn is a gift to others. The gifts that God has given to each of his children are to be shared. God has blessed us, now we are to bless others. With that blessing in principle, we have been blessed. So we need to think of ourselves that way. We have been blessed to bless others. The key phrase and concept in the verse is as good stewards. Now, a steward in the ancient world is much what a steward is now. They're a manager. They're an overseer. They're not the owner of the property. They're the person who is, as I say, managing for someone else, for the owner. And in this, you can see that Peter's reminding us that we are not the people at the heart of this. The owner of the household has told us to do this, and we know who the owner of the household is. That's God. Our gifts, including our spiritual gifts, have been given to us by God to be used as God directs. They're not primarily for our own use or our own benefit. They are for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. When folk are suffering, when any of us are struggling under great burden, sharing our gifts may be the very thing others need to help them in their difficulties. A believer facing financial trials may need someone else to use their gift of giving. A church member facing an emotional trial may need others to use their gift of mercy. A victim of trauma or grief may require a fellow church member to give their gift of counseling. Some people facing confusion or discouragement may need another believer to use their gift of teaching. This insistence touches on the very destructive mindset of consumerism which surrounds our society and indeed can creep into us here in our church if we're not careful. So this is the local church as a place not where our needs are met. And it's really difficult not to think of stuff that way because we are all creatures of our society. But that's not where we don't come here for our needs to be met. We hope our needs will be met here, but that's not the primary purpose. We're coming here to share and use our gifts, our God-given gifts. Peter is saying that Christians are to be committed contributors, passionate providers, zealous producers, not conceited consumers. Putting this together in this verse, we can conclude that God's varied grace is to be displayed in the use of his varied gifts that flow from that grace. And this is particularly relevant when believers are going through tough times. By ministering to one another with these gifts, we can manifest the grace of God. But that also means that grace is not just the means of our gifting, but the motive. So we need to think about this ourselves and think about what our gifts are. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning to do something that will feel very challenging for us as Scottish people. I'm going to ask us all to think about what our gifts are. And I think if you're anything like me, or as I expect you will be, that will be really challenging, because you will all want to say, oh, I don't really have anything. I'm rubbish in lots of ways. But I'm really encouraging this morning not to talk like that or not to think like that. We're hearing that God has poured out gifts on all of us. So it is deeply and profoundly right that as Christians, we understand and we believe that. So if we are being too self-deprecating about our gifts, we're actually turning our back on what God has said. God has given us gifts. So we're going to sing a hymn, and during that hymn, I want you all to think about what, because it'll come up in a minute or two, I want you all to think about your gifts, and I want you to think about if someone says to you, that's a sort of trailer, or it might happen. It probably will happen. In fact, it will happen. I want you to think about what gifts you're going to be able to share with someone else about what your gifts are. Okay, so are we all feeling enthusiastic about sharing our gifts? Have we all got it primed in our heads? Have we all decided that we're not going to be really Scottish and really coy? We're going to actually name what we think our gifts are. I can sense a wave of happiness coming at me from the... So I'd like you to find a partner, someone sitting quite near you, and I would ask you to... Yes, it can be someone that you came in with, or you could find a stranger, and I'd like you to talk to that person, both of you can do it in turn, about what you feel your gifts are that God has given you. Might be gifts that you use in the church here, it might be gifts that you use in your home or with your family, whatever comes to you. So please share away. So hopefully you're taking away with you today a list of the gifts that God has given to you. And you can, as I say, remember those gifts every time you open your book to the relevant page and use your bookmark. And I think always remember that these are gifts which were blessed upon you, we believe at Pentecost, by the Holy Spirit, which was the pouring out of gifts. But even before Pentecost, God gave all of us the gifts because we are God's creations and God has blessed us in manifold ways. And that is something which all of us should hold at our heart. So when all of us have a desire to say, oh, I'm really rubbish at this, oh, I'm terrible at that, remember, that might be true. I certainly have lots of things that I'm really terrible at. As I say, using a guillotine to cut out bookmarks clearly is one of them. But there are things which I believe I am good at, and that is something which is not coming from my ego, but that is a gift that God has given to me, and hopefully you all feel the same. So thank you very much for your willingness to share your gifts with each other. That was better than I thought it might be. I thought there might be a lot of embarrassed, coy faces, so that was wonderful. Thank you.